I greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. A wonderful morning that he has made. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father. Are you joyful in the Lord this morning? I hope you are. We're here because of a wonderful, a great, and awesome God. And he is the one that has brought us thus far in life, whether we're a couple days old or whether we're a year old or in our 70s. And that doesn't seem near as old as it used to. But God is good. And we are grateful to him. And it is he who has given us this gift of mothers. It is he who has made these beautiful flowers. See, they have to have water. Sometimes we see a nice vase of flowers, and they just look so perfect, and I'm surprised they can make them as perfect as God does. But they don't need any water, so they're not real. I like these real flowers. And so we can bloom as flowers. Maybe we would look at the blooming part more on the sister's side as men blooming, you know. They want to be trees of righteousness, but they don't have the blooms, you know, to really decorate the tree. But anyhow, God has made everything, and he called it good. He said it is wonderful, wonderful and perfect. And so I've got a few things here that I would want to share. And Norman made mention in his prayer about sometimes it seems thankless. Well, we don't want it to be that way, but sometimes we don't thank our mothers and our wives as much as we should. But somehow these little thank yous failed to be expressed. And I just had a list here of them, and I'll just give this first before I get into the message. The little thank yous. Most of us think the Lord for big things in our lives. Promotions, health, increase of wealth, when an heir arrives, but for the many little things. You know, it's not the things that can be bought that are life's richest treasures. It's just the little heart gifts that money cannot measure. And I won't continue with that poem, but anyhow, I appreciate the words. So, but for the little things, the many little things we're given each day, we take them hardly thinking and without a word to say. A tasty meal. Now, this pertains to, like, a thank you to my wife for that those eggs and pancakes and ham and stuff yesterday morning in our home here. Quite often we have breakfast up in Illinois, and my wife, she eats her apple and I eat my eggs and toast and so forth, or maybe a bowl of some good grape nuts and things like that. So, but here she says, a tasty meal of fresh laundered clothes. Do we thank mom, boys especially, and men? Do we thank them? We can get our clothes as dirty as we can, or do, and then we throw them in the wash basket, and we don't have to go to the wash basket. Get them again. They're in the drawer or in the closet hanging on hangers. Do you really thank them? Do we really thank our mothers? And maybe the girls get careless too at times and don't thank mom like they should. But anyhow, I'm the first one to hear that, and those of you that have ears to hear. So, excuse me. And he says, a button fixed or a torn place sewn, a restful bed at night, a tolerant look. Well, at least they look tolerant. You know, they toler some of us, even if we don't do like we really should and aren't as grateful. A smile to lift the heart, are subjects to be thankful for, and each one plays a part to show how much we all depend on love's unselfish arts. And we should thank the Lord and those who serve with living hearts, loving hearts. They know the routine. I've often told my wife already, I don't know how you get everything together like this, but the good meals and stuff like that, you know. But it's some time ago already, the last time that happened anyhow. I like to invite people and then tell her that I've invited so-and-so and so-and-so. You did. What are we going to have? Think a little bit, and there's an array of things that you'll put on the table. It's just like that. And I guess it was sometime later that I was called on to preach at a very short notice. And she says, oh, don't worry about it. Just reach in your brain, your mind, just bring it out. So anyhow, that's the way it is. That's life. And so serve with serving hearts. Let's all thank God especially. Let's all be reminded today to thank God for those great gifts that he has given, and that is the mother in the house. And so you can turn with me to excuse me. 1 Samuel. Now, I'm going to have to keep going here, but anyhow, that's kind of what I have in mind, is that Hannah was a special lady. Hannah was barren, and she was one of the wives of Elkanah, whatever. Anyhow, you know who I'm talking about. And so she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. but things just didn't happen. When they went to, let me find my text here. When they went to the service at, was it Shiloh? Let me get my place here in the Bible. Samuel chapter 1 and 2 talks about Elkanah and Hannah and the other lady that he had. Now, maybe we'll go on here. I'll just start, let's see. I don't know. Maybe I better start at the first. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, son of anyhow, so and so and so and so. Anyhow, he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship, to the service unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah, now that wasn't a really nice thing to do, was it? He was kind of thoughtless, maybe. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut her womb. I'm going to have to drop down and not read all of that. But verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat of a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look unto the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto her thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying there before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. And Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Aye, aye, aye. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul unto the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So we could read more how that it happened then that Hannah was with child, and one vow that she made, you know, she's going to give this boy to the Lord. I don't know just how she had that in mind, but when Samuel was born, and they rose up in the morning early, in verse 19, to worship the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah and his wife. The Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of him, ask him of the Lord. And then they went up to the house again, up to the Lord yearly, their sacrifice. Hannah went up, not up, she says, that she was going to wait until she weans the child. Anyhow, just dropping on down for sake of time. And when she weaned him, she took him up with her and three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young, and they slew the bullock, brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, we could read on there, but the goodness of and the love that his mother, that Samuel's mother had, after that, and I don't know how old he was, what age he was weaned. Maybe someone has found information otherwise, but anyhow, we... We see that, we read then, that every year she went, now this boy was growing, so every year she made a coat and took it up to him, up to Shiloh. And so you can see the love that she had, and she, I'm sure she took food along as well. And she was a mother that wove this coat that she made. It was all handmade, took it up to him each year. And later, Hannah became the mother of, what was it, five other youngsters. God really opened her heart, blessed her, and opened her womb, and she had a family. So, and that's how you know, many of us are here today. I was born in a family of eight. Our children were born in a family of seven. And the numbers vary. And some have, like my sister, they had 17 children. And five of them were cerebral. But she was a mother that loved those children. She worked. Anyhow, God has blessed her. She doesn't look like a 50-year-old yet, but she is older. But God has blessed her because of her service. Every child had to be held and fed. And anyhow, why did I get into that? Anyhow, that was a mother that stood out to me for her family and for what they have now. But anyhow, godly mothers are a gift of God to families. And now for scripture reading. I just had Hannah on my mind for some reason, and I didn't want to go away, so I just shared that Hannah was a lady that prayed, and she prayed. And do we pray, and do we pray? I suppose her husband was praying for her too. And he gave her a good portion. But she was a mother that was very good with children, I'm sure. And let's just turn to the chapter in Proverbs. Proverbs 31, concerning a virtuous woman, the praise and properties of a good wife. I suppose all of us husbands would say we've got a good wife. And I'd hate to hear anything different, because now I realize some people don't have quite the relationship that others do. But let's just look for the good. If you have a problem with your wife, and I'll let the fathers rest until Father's Day, then someone can preach a Father's Day message. But the mothers, they're up and at work, you know. Things got to go. All the laundry's got to be done, the cooking's got to be done, the canning's got to be done, and everything goes on. So who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That is in verse 10 that I start. And you know the words there, you can follow them, but a number of years ago, Henry J. Miller paraphrased this portion of Scripture. So just look for the words. Some of the words are easier to understand and place than when they're paraphrased. So he wrote like this: who can find a virtuous, worthy wife, earnest and strong in the Lord? She is more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies. Her husband can trust her because of her living faith. She will comfort and encourage and do him good as long as she lives. She seeks godly things of which righteous character is made and works willingly to develop it. She is like a merchant ship, loaded with spiritual food. She teaches her children from the Bible. She rises while it is yet night and prays to God for grace and wisdom to train her children. She considers what company her children have. She plants fruitful character in her household. She girds herself with faith and strength for her God-given task. I'm on verse 18 now. She tastes and sees that her gain in spiritual work for God is good, but that only through faith and dependence on God. Her lamp is full of his Spirit, so that her light is not dimmed by severe trials. She wants to help her children build a beautiful house of character. Her godly life leaves a radiant witness not just at home, but it shines abroad to the poor and needy. She fears not the storm of temptations or false teaching, for her family is clothed in the scarlet robe of blood-bought redemption. Let's see, where was that? Verse 22. She has a zeal to keep her family neat and clean, clothed in modest apparel. Let's remember that, ladies. Modest apparel. Dress modestly, not for exposure. A virtuous and worthy wife, earnest and strong in her Christian life, is a crowing glory for her husband, and she makes him not ashamed. She makes it a point to witness, telling the good news to those who do not know Jesus. Her position is strong and secure. She rejoices in the prospect of eternity, future, for she knows that she and her family are ready for it. She speaks wisely. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She gives counsel and instruction. She is much concerned for her household and will not tolerate the sin of idleness, gossip, discontent, or self-pity. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her, saying, "My daughters have done nobly and well, but through your spiritual and practical devotion to God, you excel them all." Popularity is deceitful. So we don't want children that really, they want to stand out. They're really, really popular. You want to be popular in beauty. But he says here, popularity is deceitful and beauty is vain. But she that reverences and fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in her godly home. Again, I say that's paraphrased by Henry J. Miller from Sugar Creek, Ohio. I thought it was a real, some of those words are more, younger people are more able to understand than some of the other words. But it's really wonderful. Again, I say, God, mothers are a special gift from God. The godly mother. And so we certainly, I see time is going on fast, but I've got a few other things here besides that scripture that I have read. And it's quite interesting, the greatness, the wonderfulness, and the blessedness of a home where each one lives for each other and all live for Jesus. A number of mothers have passed on of our mothers here, but we still have a number of mothers here. And children of those mothers, think on these things. I often, in my growing up years, my mother wasn't real talkative. She had a stammering problem, and sometimes she couldn't get out what she wanted to say, and she was bothered with that, and yet I've heard Dad encourage her. She used to not be able to read her Sunday school, take her turn, but then as she grew older, and when they lived in Missouri, she was able to read her verse in sequence as in the Sunday school class. So God has blessed her. And, you know, when she got old, she had strokes, She was cared for. She was total care. Dad was on a wheelchair for 13 years, and we children took care of him. We could return. We had the opportunity to return some of that goodness that we got as children growing up. And we thank God over and over for that. And so may you that still have your mothers and fathers, be grateful, be thankful. What's the fifth commandment? Who's going to tell me? How many of you know what that is? Right. That's right. And do you know when you don't honor your father and your mother that you are not honoring God? Sometimes we are lightly. I experienced that as a young boy. I didn't honor my father and my mother like I should have. But God got a hold of me. And I was made aware that if I don't honor my father and my mother, the commandment of God, we are not honoring God. So please, children, youth, honor your father and your mother. You'll never regret it. It's interesting. I came upon the story concerning when the 25th president, when the 25th president's mother died. Who can tell me who was the 25th president? I'm not going into politics. I'll assure you that. It's been quite a while. And one reason why we from Hartville, Ohio, know that and remember that is because the McKinley Monument stands there. William McKinley was the 25th president. And his mother, when he was a boy, I cannot subscribe to the idea that luck had very much to do with the making me president. This is his own words, William McKinley. He was the president of the United States. William McKinley once said, "I have never been in doubt since I was old enough to think intelligently that I would sometime be made president." His mother had other intentions for her son, who was born in Ohio in 1843, child number 7 out of 9 children born to William and Nancy McKinley. She was superintendent of the Sunday school and often boasted to the friends that her son would be one day a Methodist bishop. Her comment following McKinley's being elected of the 25th president said, "Well, that's all right, too." President McKinley and his mother had a close relationship during the winter of 1997. Well, I say 1997, probably 1897. She became seriously ill. McKinley installed a special telegraph wire connecting the White House to his mother's home in Canton, Ohio. He also kept a special train ready for the trip. One night, the elderly woman called for her son, and so the nurses wired, "Mr. President, we think you had better come." He sent back the answer, "Tell mother I'll be there." He arrived just in time to find his mother for his mother to die in his arms. How many of you know the song "Tell Mother I'll Be There"? I think a number of them know about that. We're not going to sing that song. We're going to sing another one later on. But Mr. Charles Fillmore, a hymn writer from the Midwest, was deeply touched with this story. He felt the words expressed the perfect sentiment of a wayward children who needed to meet their mothers in heaven one day. He penned the words and the music, "Tell Mother I'll be there." When I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. And now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Tell my mother I'll be there in an answer to her prayer. Take the message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. Though I was often wayward, and she always kind and good, so patient, gentle, loving when I acted rough and rude, my childhood griefs and trials she would gladly with me share. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. When I became a prodigal and left the old roof tree, she almost broke her loving heart in mourning after me. And day and night she prayed to God to keep me in his care. Oh, Savior, tell mother I'll be there. One day a message came to me, bade me quickly come, if I would see my mother ere the Savior took me home. I promised her before she died for heaven to prepare. Oh, Savior, tell mother I'll be there. There's a nice tune for that song. But I have another one here that I'm going to share. Let's bear in mind and remember the "Who Can Find a Virtuous Woman." But these poems, I've used this years ago, possibly in this church house. A poem written by Ann Taylor. She lived from 1783 to 1866. Who fed me from my gentle breast? Who shed... Excuse me. Yeah, I better take a drink. Who fed me from her gentle breast and hushed me in her arms to rest and on my cheek sweet kisses pressed? My mother. When sleep forsook my open eye, who was it sung sweet lullaby and rocked me that I should not cry? My mother. Who sat and watched my infant head when sleeping in my cradle bed and tears of sweet affection shed? My mother. Who taught my infant lips to pray and love God's holy book and day and walk in wisdom's pleasant way? My mother. I can never cease to be affectionate and kind to thee, who was very kind to me, my mother. Ah, no, the thought I cannot bear. If God pleases my life to spare, I hope I shall reward thy care. Us children in our family, we had, or my mom and dad's family, we had the opportunity to return some of that. Who ran to help me when I fell and would some pretty story tell or kiss the place to make it well? My mother. When pain and sickness made me cry, who gazed upon my heavy eye and wept for fear that I should die? My mother. Who dressed my doll in clothes so gay and taught me pretty how to play and minded all I had to say? My mother. That one verse is me. That was me. I was a very sickly boy when I was born, the first couple of weeks. Nothing that I ate, no milk or anything, would work for me. I was nothing but a little skin and bones, she said. She even hated to dry my diaper. I mean, to change diapers. And here I am today, 73 years later. Mother was very special and should be special to all of us. An experience that we had a number of years ago when our family drove to Hartville, Ohio. We drove up there during the night. And as we entered Canton, Ohio, on the interstate. There was that's an interstate. It was a divided highway. And when we were going up past North Campton, here come a vehicle our way. And he was on the southbound lane. We were going north. We wondered, what in the world is wrong with that man? But at least he was in the other lane. He wasn't in the same lane. Last Monday morning, Louise and I left around 4 o'clock, I guess it was, to go up to the 4:30 maybe, I'm not sure. And as we rounded Mayfield on the bypass, and that's only a two-lane highway, just after the intersection of 80 out of Mayfield, we had quite a shocking experience in a way, and yet we lived through it. There was a set of headlights coming directly in our lane as they come around the curve, going possibly, I don't know, speed limit's 55 there. And I forget what Louise said, but I know that I thought of Big Eli. Norman, you remember Big Eli, I'm sure, when they went, they took those buses down to Central America with a lot of things and they crashed. I had to think of Eli. I said, we're headed for eternity, a head-on crash. But you know what? There was a shoulder. Yeah, it's blacktop. And my steering wheel just went like that and back. He missed us by about a foot or something like that. I don't know, maybe it's just 6 inches. And of course, I don't know why. No wonder we were told Louise a little later. I just got to get my heart back down where it belongs. So close, but yet we were clear. I don't know how many of you prayed for me, for us. I'm sure you pray for us. But at that hour of the morning, possibly a lot of you were sleeping yet, but it was God. I can't feel, at this point, I can't feel me grabbing the steering wheel. But I give God the glory. He's not through with me. But anyhow, to him be the glory. Well, I think it's high time that I quit. There's a song that I wanted you to help sing concerning our mothers. The honor or a tribute to our mothers. And we want to sing that together. Chad, are you... you're ahead of me. It's very easy because we all know the song, Onward Christian Soldiers. I'm not going to ask you to stand because...